I was thinking about a song. I believe it's number 140 in the book. It says, I know on whom my faith is fixed. I know in whom I trust. I know that Christ abides in me and all his ways are just. The refrain says, I know on whom my faith is fixed. His mercy has set me free. I know that he will safely keep, and his love is sweet to me. Verse 2 says, let scoffers scoff, let scorners sneer. My heart is full of peace. They cannot take the joy I feel, nor make my hope to cease. Verse 3 says, they cannot quench the fire of love that burns within my breast, nor break that tender fellowship that makes my life so blessed. I want to come back to that verse in a minute. Verse 4 says, they cannot bring again the sins the blood has washed away, nor make my heart like stone once more, nor turn to night my day. Verse 5, I know God is. I know his word unfailing meets each test. I calmly face a hostile world with soul and mind at rest. I believe that was number 140, if I remember right. I want us to think about the part of that third verse. These words are very, very precious words this morning. And we appreciate them so much. We appreciate being able to know that the Lord loves us and that he has washed our sins away and replaced that with peace with God. I think about the third verse. It says, not only they cannot quench that the fire of love that burns within my breast, nor break that tender fellowship that makes my life so blessed. I want to talk a little bit this morning about that fellowship that we have with God and with his people. But I'm thinking this morning about the walking. We heard this morning about knowing the Lord. Almost the same message or idea that I felt like the Lord gave me this morning too. That the Christian life is more than just doing right and wrong. Folks, we are saved from sin. Thank the Lord for that. That is not our walk with God. That is what makes us a candidate to walk with God. It is sin that separates us from a holy God. We cannot walk with God in darkness. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And to walk with the Lord, that's in light. That's in holiness. That's in godliness. Only God can clean our hearts and make us so. But I want us to think this morning about what it means to know the Lord this morning. I believe many, many Christians get saved. And that's one of the things that's so hard about people in the world. Do they get saved? Sure they do. They hear the word of God. They repent of their sins. God meets them just like he meets us. But folks, we as well as they have to go on to know the Lord. That is the beginning of a life. It's the beginning of a journey. And many times we get saved and we stop there. I want to encourage us this morning that the Lord wants us to know him. I want to tell you something. When you know the Lord, when you know the God of heaven personally, it makes a great difference in your life. The forgiveness of sins, the keeping ourselves away from the world, those are things that we do so that we might walk with him this morning. And so God made us. He had intentions in mind. He had thoughts about it. He made you and I with purpose and with some desire. He made us to love him. He made us to love us. And he did love us. And he does love us. And so when we see that, and we see the price, the ultimate price that he paid, that he would send his son from heaven, that we might be saved and restored to a proper fellowship with the Father. And so when we read this song, it begins to take on new meaning. They cannot quench the fire of love that burns within my breast, nor break that tender fellowship that makes my life so blessed. I know that's a fellowship with His people, but it's a fellowship with God. And we have to have that to have fellowship one with another, proper fellowship. So I want to look a little bit at a few scriptures this morning, 1 John 1 and 3. And 1 John is quite a chapter, has many, many deep and good things for us in it. Some of those things are misunderstood by people. But I want to tell you, God loves us and He wants to walk with you and I. In 1 and 3 of 1 John says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Do you know that this is Scripture? Jesus Himself said this back in the 15th chapter of John, I believe it was. You know, we find where that the Lord wants to implant and give into our lives joy. He wants to give us peace in our life. He doesn't want our life to be a life of just dissatisfaction and wishing and all those things. He made a way for you and me. And so when we read these scriptures, it goes on to say, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." I love that scripture, as you well know, most of you here. I love that. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That means in sin. But you know what else that means? That means God is light. There isn't any darkness in Him. And when we feel like the world is dark, and when we feel that way, I will tell you, the sun is just behind the cloud. And what we need to do is by faith behold the Lord, and we'll have light on our path. And so I'm thinking this morning about how much more than just doing right and wrong. So many times we just understand, I need to do this and I shouldn't do that. Folks, that is step number one on a long journey of life where God wants to meet with us and be with us and be in us and walk with us and teach us and comfort us and lead us and give us wisdom and all of those things. The Lord wants to do that. And so when we get saved, folks, this is the beginning of a brand new journey. And so I say this to all of us this morning. The word fellowship, as it's used in these scriptures here, it says partnership. That is literally participation. And it goes on, I won't read all of them, but to communicate, communication, communion, distribution, fellowship. The word fellowship means companionship, society, consort, mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms, familiar intercourse. Do you know this morning that God wants to have fellowship with us? I know we've heard, most of us heard these things before, but you know, this morning, I believe God wants to get them down in our heart, where we can believe and know and find a place with the Lord where we have fellowship with Him. I know that people in the world, they get this idea that Jesus just paid all their dues for past, present, and future, and no matter how they live from this point on, they're okay. Folks, there's no walking together in a life like that. There's no fellowship with a holy God like that. And so the Lord longs for you and me to come into fellowship with Him, to come into communion with Him. He wants to talk to us. And here we're thinking, what am I doing wrong? And what, teach me, help me. Folks, the Lord wants to visit with us. He wants to come down and comfort our hearts. He wants to be real in our lives this morning. That doesn't mean that every day of our life that we feel like we're on a high. But I will tell you something. God wants to visit our life. When we're in low, He wants to come to us and bring scriptures. He wants to come to us and give us that we need in every time of our life this morning. I'm just going to quote this one from Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Is that possible for two to really have companionship, fellowship? Is it possible for two to walk together and be in total disagreement and disharmony? No, it's not, is it? There'll come a place of separation. But the Lord wants there to be a whole heaven of time, an eternity of time of fellowship with us and Him. And He wants us to start now in that. We learn to walk with God. We learn His ways. We learn His voice. We learn to follow Him and begin to know the Lord. And so this morning I pray that God will teach us and help us this morning. I think about the men and women through the centuries. I could list a whole number of them. But folks, Enoch, we read this in Genesis 5:22. Don't we love the story of Enoch? It says but a few words about Enoch, but what it says is so powerful. 5:22 of Genesis. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Isn't that amazing? Enoch walked with God. It doesn't say Enoch quit sinning. But Enoch had to quit that. I will tell you that. That's the given. That's the given. But the rest is, then he walked with God. How do we find this God? How do we come to this place where we can actually walk with God? The God of heaven? You mean He would come down and actually walk with us? Yes, that's what we mean. That's what the scriptures tell us. That's what He was doing with Adam and Eve in the garden when suddenly there was a break there, wasn't there? And we find that something happened and the fellowship was broken and that great and holy God was no longer able to walk with them and come down and talk with them like He was before. Folks, I just want to think about the fellowship that we have with God. Do you know that when you know, and we hear this little saying a lot, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, I will tell you lots of times that's true. When you get into circles and need things and get into needing things with governments and things like that, lots of times it comes down to who you know. It really does. But you know, this morning, when we walk with God the Father, He has all power invested in Him. All power is vested in God, in Jesus Christ. And He has what we need. And when we need power in our life and we're walking with the Lord, do you know that's where that comes from? It doesn't come from the first prayer we prayed. It comes from the fact that we know the Father and we begin to walk with Him. And He has all of this available to Him and wants to give it to us. He wants to just impart all that we need and more. And so we need power. It's found in God. We need wisdom. It's found with Him, isn't it? All wisdom is in the Lord. In fact, He designed and made this whole thing. What wisdom would there not be in Him? He knows all wisdom. And this morning, we're so void of wisdom many times. How many times have all of us just messed up and realized, I should have had more wisdom? You know, Lord, help me. And we begin to seek the Lord. Lord, I want that kind of wisdom. You promised to give liberally those that need wisdom. Did he not? Promise us, I believe it's James, what, first chapter or second? It's talking about giving us wisdom liberally, and he upbraideth not. He already knows we don't have wisdom. He's not going to get after us when we come to him. He has all of that, and he wants to share it with us this morning. You know, all grace is with the Father. Do you know that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men? But you know, it didn't stop at just appearing. He wants to appear to us all through our life. He wants to appear to us and walk with us. He wants to work with us. He wants us to work with him. And this morning, I just want to encourage us that this is far more, and I believe it's far more than just salvation. That sets us on the journey, and we thank God for that this morning. How we love that from the Lord. You know, Hebrews 4 and 15 tells a little bit, gives us a little into the mind of God. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now how come he was tempted like that? So that he might be a faithful high priest to us, and so that we might be able to trust him in those things. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you know that is the Lord just, he wants to just give us grace, doesn't he? He does. And I'll tell you how we find it. We come before him humbling ourselves. It tells us that he gives grace to the humble. And it says that he resists the proud. He resists the self-motivated or however you want to say that. He resists that where we stand up in the face of God. We know, and he doesn't. Folks, but he gives grace to the humble. And so when we come to the Lord and we humble ourselves, I will tell you, he has the fountains of wisdom and grace. He has the fountains of knowledge. We need to understand. Lord, help me to understand. Do you know he doesn't just drop that into our hearts completely at one time? We wouldn't be able to take all of that at once. But he teaches us and he begins to lead us the rest of our life. He's going to keep revealing himself to us. He's going to keep teaching us. He's going to keep encouraging us. And we're going to learn all the way more about what it means for the grace of God to appear to a man or a woman and to help us in life. So this morning, the Lord help us that our prayers, our devotions, never become simply mechanical. I said my prayers today, and I read the Bible, and I got to go. I know that sometimes it seems that way. We all know that. Sometimes we've got to go, and we woke up late or whatever, and it's time, or whatever happens. Somebody interrupted us or something. But I will tell you, it should not stop there. The Lord wants us to search him out. He wants us to find him. He wants our devotions to mean something to us because he wants to be in that. And so this morning, as we search after God, he's given us promises that if we, with our whole heart, will search after him, will long for him, will look to him, more than just, Lord, I just want to go to heaven. I just don't want to do wrong and I want to do right. If that's where it stops, we're going to have troubles in our spiritual life. That's a good starting place. But folks, the Lord loves for us to long for him. That's what he made us for. And so our heart begins to long. Lord, have mercy on me. I want to serve you, and I don't know how to serve you. I want to know your voice, and I don't know your voice very well. And we begin to call upon the Lord. And do you know that as our heart begins to seek after God like that, He promised that He would be found of us this morning. And so we want it to be that way. Oh, the Lord, teach us and draw us into a relationship. I think many times we stop short of the full benefit. And the Lord wants to take us on. He wants to fill us by His Spirit. He wants to lead us. He wants to be real in our life. He wants to gift us. Did you know He wants to give you special benefits to be able to help people, be able to help in His work? The Lord wants to do that for you and me. But if we stop short and we don't follow on, I'm speaking to all of us this morning, or if we ever stop following on, do you know that's kind of where things are going to start stopping at that point? And so our desires have to be, Lord, would you help me today? Would you lead me into a real walk with you where there is grace, where there is power, where there is strength, where there is enlightenment, where you have wisdom for me? All of those things this morning. I think I want to just testify this. Many times I love to go out at night and walk and look up at the heavens and cry out to God, Lord, I need you. I need help. You see the situations we're in right now? I don't know what to do. You ever been there this morning? Or am I the only one that feels that way? You know what? There's lots of times I don't know what to do. But I will tell you, when our heart begins to cry out for the Almighty God to walk with us and teach us, I want to tell you, you'll see it. It's kind of a slow process. And sometimes it's fast, but God works on a time scale that's not quite like ours sometimes. But in the end, you'll see His great hand working and changing things and showing us what to do and revealing Himself many times, time after time after time. It comes from that desire that we have. It may not be at night for you. You might be an early riser, up before the sun rises, and maybe on your knees, sometimes maybe riding down the road. But folks, there needs to be that time that is God's. Lord, I am searching for you. I am needing you. God don't work real well just throwing Him into everything else all the time. We have to take time. It's like a marriage. We can say I love you and all of that, but we have to stop and we have to spend time with one another. We have to do that on purpose. We have to court one another on purpose. That's part of relationships that are good. And so this morning, we have to do that with God. And if we don't do that, we won't really walk with God. We'll be shortchanged and we'll find lacks, and we'll have lacks we don't even know we have, that the Lord wants to fill if we will search for Him and find Him in our life this morning. In Luke 11, I want to look at a parable. You know, everything Jesus had written in the Bible, I think, is there on purpose. He wants us to know some things, and He wants us to know some things about Him and how He operates. Luke 11 and 5 to 9. He says here, and He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now he's just telling us a little simple story here. Somebody's already gone to bed. Someone else has company that comes in late. And they go to their neighbor that's already in bed and say, hey, can you loan me a few loaves of bread? I don't have enough for my friends. And you know, he says, And that friend says, "Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," that means he just keeps coming, "yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Somebody keeps knocking on your door, you're probably going to throw the three loaves out and say, "Let's get back to bed," aren't we? "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Do you know this morning that the Lord gave us this lesson to teach us to not be put off, to make our desire such that we continually come to God until we receive our request? Sometimes we quit doing that and we just, "Well, I didn't get it. I prayed about it and that's good enough." That's not good enough. The scriptures tell us about this importunity because it's trying to teach us a lesson that we come to God and we keep coming. "Lord, I need help. I need grace. I need more grace. I need more understanding. I need wisdom that I'm not getting enough of." You know, and we keep coming. I want to tell you something. Something begins to happen. I think I better start fasting. I think I better leave off a little food here or something. You know, whether it's little or a lot we begin to do, we begin to get more earnest, don't we? And so this morning, I want to read a few other places. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Listen to the thoughts of the Lord as he's telling us his thoughts. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." Now this is a people that was being punished for what they had done. And they were living in a foreign land. And the Lord said, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." That's what he told those people. And folks, this morning it's that way for us. We will find the Lord when we search for him with all our heart. Lord, if you were there, I need help. I want to tell you, when you start coming to God and you start searching for him and you start humbling yourself to him, you're going to find him. I want to read another little parable, Luke 18 and 1. To 8. It says here, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith." Now, and he goes on to say, okay, this judge would not hear this lady, but she kept coming, and so he said, "She's wearing me out, I'm going to help her." Now, he's not talking in that same context with God, but he's talking in the context of us keeping coming. And so he says in verse 7, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I know we've used this scripture before, and I want to mention it again. Brother Austin said to this one time, I heard him preaching on it, and you know this, avenge them speedily. Sometimes God's clock seems kind of slow. But he said lots of times when this process is going on, we're getting a little more earnest. And then we get a little more earnest. And pretty soon we start putting in prayer requests. We forget the pride business or whatever. I'll throw that in myself. But we start putting in prayer requests. And then we start fasting. And we start really bringing it increases until our desire is such that God maybe through that process is starting to deal with us about a few things too. Okay, Lord, I think you've dealt with me about this thing. I'm gonna take care of that. And you know, we're in a needy place, and we start throwing things out, don't we? We start humbling ourselves. Maybe we make a phone call. You know, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I did. Maybe we were defensive of ourselves before that. But you see the process that God takes us through. And he says, I tell you that he'll answer them speedily. That means when he's ready. When things are ready. And it's not only us he's working with. Maybe he's working with other people. Maybe he's working with a whole situation. Maybe he's working with the whole family or the whole company. And do you know, when he gets ready, then he'll work speedily. And so he says, keep coming. Keep pressure on. Keep the desire to the Lord this morning. We're just about done, but I want to read two other places perhaps. In Isaiah 59 and 1, I want to think about what this scripture says, because this is very important with this. It says, behold, Isaiah 59 and 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. His hand's plenty long. His arm's long enough. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. You know, this morning, we have to be sure that our life is clean. That's step number one. That's what we do, is settle those scores up with the Lord and with people. And then we go on and walk with him. But he told these people here, he said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it won't save. It's plenty. It'll do the job. It'll help you and I. But he said, your sins, the things that you have between me and you, we can't have fellowship together. We're not able to walk. Light and darkness won't mix. And God and sin won't mix. Holiness won't mix with sin. And so he said, your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Do you know, this morning, God longs to walk with all of us this morning. He loves to walk with us. And so I just pray, God, that we each one would walk with him and would take the time, the desire, our heart searching after him. Folks, that's what we want it to be. I don't want to be a policeman to go around and tell everybody what they have to do, because that doesn't mean they're walking with God any more than before I told them. You know, that would be, that's foreign to us as a people, isn't it? We don't have policemen. But I will tell you, if you want to walk with God, you're going to have to put the world away. You're going to have to put things away that stand between you and God. When we start searching for God, do you know, our life is going to get a little cleaner. And I don't mean that we have sins and we're walking with God, but I'm saying things that we hold on to, that we justify, we start putting those things away, don't we? The things that are idols to us that keep us from walking with God, they take all our time. We start putting those things away, don't we? There is a process that God wants to bring us to Himself. And I want to tell you something. Many of us know God is very real. God is more real than I could ever have believed. Not every day does God bring some divine revelation, but I want to tell you, regularly, God wants to bless your life. Regularly, He wants to work miracles in your life. I've seen many. I don't boast in that. All of God's people that draw nigh to Him have seen many. I want to tell you something. God works things out. God heals. God changes things. He gives wisdom. He gives grace. And we have to humble ourselves for it, don't we? We have to humble ourselves. The Lord help us this morning. I want to read one more place. And then, Lord willing, that'll be all. Hebrews 8 and 10. Listen to this. These are beautiful scriptures. This is the heart of God. He said, "This is the covenant, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." And we're spiritual Israel today. The word makes that plain. "Saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, from the most unwise to the most wise, the most unlearned to the most learned." Do you know, from whatever we call the least to the greatest, He says they're all going to know me. Now there's going to be a lot we're going to have to learn, isn't there? From each other, from the preaching and teaching of the Word, from the Scriptures. But we're going to know the Lord all along the way. And the Lord wants us to do that. And sometimes, we sell ourselves a little bit short. And we don't take full advantage. And so, where is our grace? And where is our wisdom? And where is our strength? And where is that those things that we need so much? I will tell you where they are. They are in God. They are in fellowship with God. They are in walking with God. As Enoch walked with God, and we walk with God, and others, many millions have walked with God, I want to tell you, the Lord wants to reveal His great self to us this morning. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Those things that stood between us, I'm just going to forgive them. And they're not going to stand between us anymore. And we're going to be able, they're going to be my people, and I'm going to be their God. And we're going to be close, and we're going to have fellowship. And all of this about just, you know, well, I just, too much, too many things to, oh, the Lord requires this and that, folks. That's just the prerequisite of walking with God. The Lord help us this morning that our hearts will search after Him, that we will find Him. Amen.